Hi, everyone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. We're about to get started.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for today's webinar entitled How to Connect and Build Trust with Strategic Questions and Active Listening. My name is Natalie Plourd. I'm the manager of member programs at the OCA. In a moment, I will introduce you to Yvonne Juanes-Ruiz, our speaker for today. But first, we have a few housekeeping matters to attend to. We are using Adobe Connect software for today's webinar. Should you experience any technical difficulties, please let us know by emailing oca@chiropractic.on.ca or by calling 1-877-327-2273. We are recording this webinar and will be posting the video and presentation slides to the OCA website in the next few days. Today's webinar can be counted towards the CCO's requirement for continuing education credits. A confirmation email will be sent to you confirming your attendance. The email will also include a short survey. Please complete the survey to ensure future webinars meet your needs. Lastly, hold any questions till the end. However, there will be opportunity to chat throughout, at which time you can enter your questions on the chat box that you will see on the screen for our subject matter expert to answer. It is now my pleasure to introduce our speaker for today. Yvonne is not your typical teacher. In fact, he's not your typical anything. He's a certified Dale Carnegie trainer on high impact presentation. He is a guest lecturer at the Sauder School of Business at the University of British Columbia and the University of Toronto's School of Continuing Studies, just to name a few. Beyond that, he's worked in finance, sales, marketing, and HR. He also owned two successful businesses and is a guest speaker and trainer at several universities and top employers across Canada. He has traveled across Canada twice as the official spokesperson for both Pan Am and the Invictus Games in 2017. For almost 20 years, Yvonne has obsessed with the ideas of how to communicate them and how to make them stick. And here's what he found. Being a good speaker and commanding attention is not something you are born with. It's something that can be learned. Yvonne is the author of They Don't Have to Be Naked, A New Approach to Public Speaking, and is the creator of Communication Strategies for a Virtual Age, a new online course with Coursera. We are very pleased to have Yvonne joining us today, and we know our members will learn a lot from this presentation. And please feel free to chat with us during this interactive webinar. We want to hear from you. And now, I will hand it over to Yvonne. Yvonne?
Hi, everybody. How's it going? Let me just start the... Hi. Can you all see me? Maybe just type it in the chat. Welcome. Happy Wednesday. Everybody's typing, I can see here. Thank you, Manju. So before we get started, happy Wednesday. Before we get started, everyone, I'd like to ask you just to bear with me for a moment as we do a few things together. Number one, in the top left hand, I guess that way for you guys, in the top left hand, you should see a little icon with a person going like this. If you click on the down button arrow, you'll see a bunch of options. One of them is to raise your hands. Hi, Andrea. Can everyone bear with me for a moment? And first of all, raise your hands. And your icons should all change. Look at this. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Everyone's raising your hands. Now, in order to lower your hands, you'll have to push that same button and lower your hand. So now we can do that as well, please. And all hands go down. When Natalie was talking about interaction, what we wanted to do is not just interacting with me, but interacting with each other. I'm a big believer that you can't learn to communicate unless you actually communicate. So today I'm going to be asking you to communicate with me. To that end, let's all change our little icons. If you scroll down on the little person with their hand up, you should see a laughter. Can we all put on a little laughter? There it is, you got it. Way less people this time. Okay, everyone's serious. And how about a little applause whenever you feel like it? We can add some applause. I'm not going to tell you when to do that. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm not going to tell you when to do that. You can do that when you would like. Susan, if you go to the top left hand of your screen, you should see a little icon with the hand up like this. Click the down button right beside it, and you'll see several options. Great. The last thing I'm going to do... Oh, Jerome, you came in. Perfect. Hand down. Great. The last thing I'm going to ask to do is to put you on the spot a little bit. Oh, I see some hands raised. Oh, and hands coming down. You guys are all experimenting. Good. I'm going to see... And for a moment, can everyone just lower your hands for just a moment for me? Thank you. Oh, I have a lot of people coming in a few minutes late. We'll just give them a second. I'm going to ask to see if I can have a few volunteers. And what I'm going to ask you to volunteer to do is to turn on your microphones and talk with me a little bit. Not throughout the whole presentation, just once in a while. Does anyone want to be brave? Sharose, I see you putting a check mark. I'm not sure what that means. David, is your hand up because you're willing? Is anyone else? I would like to have a few different volunteers. Manju, you're good? So Sharose and David, you're both good as well? Fabulous. Great. Sharose, let me just test this out. I'm just going to turn on your mic right now, and would you be so kind as to say hello, 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 hello? Let's see if we can hear you. Don't see anything here. David, I'm also going to enable your microphone. Would you mind saying a little hello, hello? We'll see if that works. Alas, technology. Well, for all of you that don't have microphones set up, what we will do is I'll ask you to participate in the chat below with questions, and I'm going to be asking you a lot. What would you say here? What would you do in this situation? And I'd love as many of you to answer as possible. For my volunteers, I would like you to experiment on the top left beside the person with their hand up. There's another button that should give you options for starting your microphones. And if you can play with that a little bit for me while we get started, that would be fabulous. So in this hour, we are only going to discuss two things. But these two things are things that I use all the time. And they make me feel like I have Jedi mind tricks on people. Because the way it'll change the way you interact with people and the way people perceive you is amazing. First of all, let me ask for a show of hands. How many of you are good at your job? Let's see. How many? Is that everyone? That's pretty much everyone. Can I move this thing? Because I can't scroll while this is going. All right, don't worry about it. Pretty much everyone. Now let me ask you, you can all lower your hands. Thank you. Now let me ask you another question. If you're all good at your job, that's the baseline. What makes you different? What'll keep a patient coming back? What'll help a patient to trust you more? If you're all good at your jobs, there's got to be something else. What makes you different? Type it in the chat. Empathy and active listening? Well, you're in the right place, Sonia. What else do we have? I see many people typing. I'm just going to give it a minute and see what kind of results we get. Better communication, Andrea. Caring and being honest. Trust and connection. Compassion. variety of services. Yeah, listening. Now let me ask you another question for everyone. Thank you. Oh, I see more. Lots is coming through. If I don't read anyone's, don't take it personally. There's 70 of you here. But let me ask you all a follow-up question to everything you're writing here. How do you know? How do you know that your patient perceives you as empathetic? How do you know that your patient thinks you're a good communicator? Sonia, what do you mean by feedback? Because here's the thing. In the moment, like at a restaurant, if you don't enjoy your food and the waiter says, how is everything? 9 out of 10 of us will still be like, it was fine, thank you. It's hard to just give people feedback. Referrals? Maybe. In the moment, open discussions. But what type of discussions are we having? Today is exactly what I want to talk about. That's exactly what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how we can open up discussions so people aren't just saying things you want to hear. Because I need you to picture from the perspective of yourself going to someone else. Most of us don't want to be mean. We don't want to be critical. Some of us are, but most of us can't. So we just try and be nice. It's very Canadian of us. But we're not talking about being nice or not nice or critical or uncritical. What we're talking about is how to get people to say things that they were probably thinking they wanted to say as they were coming to the clinic, but in the moment discussion, they decide not to. Because that's what we all do. So first is a question stack. Now, suppose I'm one of your new patients. I come in. What is the first question you ask me? I sit down. Hi, nice to meet you. Hi, nice to meet you. What would be some of the first questions you ask me? How am I doing? Just a nice open, yeah. We say hi, nice to see you. Nice to see you. What brings you in? What brings you in today? What brings you in? How are you doing today? Great. We all have that same first question. That's great. And they'll probably say something like, and I'll, just for fun, I'll say, you know what? I have some lower back pain. I'm experiencing this pain in my back, and I'm just worried because I don't think it's going away. It hasn't gotten better. What might we say then? I see everyone typing frantically, which I love. Thank you. By the way, for Al-Karim, Sonia, David, and Tiffany, do you have questions? Is that why your hands are up? Oh, no, okay. Exactly. So here's what happened, and this is what happened to me. And this is a very typical situation, and there's nothing wrong with this. Everyone gets an A when this happens, but can we go to an A+? And here's what I mean. I'll be talking to someone, and I'm going to play both people, and I say, oh, you know, I have some lower back pain, and I feel like it's not really getting worse. And usually, the person I'm speaking with will say, "Okay, so you got some back pain. Well, let's take a look. I think we can help you with this. How long have you had it for? Great. And you're noticing it's not getting worse. How painful is it?" And we go into this conversation that involves this: you ask question, patient answers yes, no, or with one word. You ask question, patient asks yes, no, or with one word. But the concept that I want to introduce you to is after each question, a patient gives you a lot more information. So the open is saying, once someone says, oh, you know, I got some lower back pain and it's, I don't think it's getting better. And we say, okay, well, let's take a look. Okay, let me take a look. Let's see, where is it? How much does it hurt? On a scale of 1 to 10, maybe like 7. Okay. Or get on the table, here we go. Okay, let me show you where it is. And already we've finished diagnosis and we're into treatment. Now, can we get them talking to find out more? Why? Because suppose you get me talking and you say something like this. Well, tell me the story. Yes, Tessa, how you did it there? How did it begin? When did it begin? Tell me everything about it. Tell me the story. When did it start and how long have you had it for? And then I tell you something like this. Well, actually, you know, I've fallen down a few times, and I'll be honest with you, I really notice it more when I'm sitting than when I'm standing. Sometimes I'll sit and I'll just notice it on my one side, and all of a sudden you're finding out more information versus just trying to treat and having it pop up as you're trying to treat. Because let me ask you a question, everyone. If I came in with a one-time back injury, and you treat my pain a little bit here, and you say, come back for the next, we're going to work on this over the next couple of weeks, you know, come back maybe once or twice a week, and we'll just slowly help you rebuild that muscle and get your spine aligned. Would that treatment be different if this was a back injury that I had 10 years ago that I injure myself every couple of years? Would that change how you treat? It would absolutely change everything you treat, because all of a sudden you're dealing with a chronic pain versus a one-off pain or an injury. So the first question just gets people to tell you everything. And my favorite phrase on that came from NPR. One of the main reporters on NPR said, whenever I get to get someone talking, I just say, tell me the story. If you say, when did it happen? I might say, oh, like last week, and I just kind of been doing, you know, taking it easy until then. Okay, cool. And that's it. That's all you get. But if you say, tell me the story. Okay, well, basically, I'm a mechanic. I was leaning over a lot, and I noticed the pain, and I just kept doing it. Now, like 10 years ago, I hurt myself, but it's fine now, and then I think I might have, and you're finding out different things. So step one is open to get them talking. You're all pretty much there, but try using the phrase with your next patient this afternoon. Tell me the story. And then after they talk, ask them this. Anything else they're thinking about? 9 out of 10 times, you're going to hear something else too. Because that patient, on the way to see you, sitting in the waiting room, was thinking about all the things they wanted to ask. But let's be honest, when you're talking to a health professional, it's a little intimidating. Every time I go into a clinic, there's things I want to ask and bring up, and I don't do it. Because I don't want to waste my doctor's time. This allows you to make the other person feel more comfortable so they start talking. But we all know that. What's the next step? The next step is moving into strategic questions. And strategic moves to a resolution. Now here's the thing. How do you find out what the patient wants? How can we find out what the patient... we can ask them. But a lot of times, we've already diagnosed, and we start treatment. They want treatment. But what is... And yes, thank you, Joseph. What is more important? The execution of medicine, making someone better, or the perception of execution of medicine? Someone feels they're getting better. What do you all think? Let me know in the chat. Good one, Tessa. And Allison, you're right. And it's the way that we ask that I'm going to touch on in a moment. Sunny, you think it's both? Yep, both. Yes. And I agree with all of you. Because the thing is this, there are many people who stop seeing clinicians, who stop seeing medical practitioners, because they don't feel like they're getting better, even though they are. You've all experienced it. You have people that are like, oh, you need to come back, and they don't. Why? Now, when we move strategic, that's going to move people towards what they want, what they're envisioning. When they're waiting in the waiting room, they already have an idea of what they want. This assures that when they leave, they get what they want. And the last part of the question stack, that's so true. The emotional impact when they leave the clinic, Pamela, thank you, is a closed-ended question. A closed-ended question is the way Bob Woolard, who is a practitioner, he's also one of the big researchers in something called relationship-based care. And relationship-based care is a new methodology behind first family practice and like first contact with patients who are ill, a new way of treating that revolves around creating a sense of security behind the patient. And here's the interesting thing. When you can look it up on PubMed. If you look up RBC, relationship-based care, what you will find, one of the first results will be an article that analyzed whether relationship-based care in hospitals had any impact, not on how people felt, but on outcomes. And what they noticed is it had two very interesting impacts. The first impact was that it actually dramatically reduced hospitalization, mortality, and morbidity. That was the first impact. Measurable, statistically significant, p-value less than 0.05 reductions. But here's the other interesting thing they found with active listening, is that it also reduced by 20% the amount of turnover of staff, nursing, and support personnel. That's the impact of the question stack, because essentially the question stack is something they use in relationship-based care. So let's go through an example. I have back pain. I come in, and it's getting worse. In the chat, can someone type in some questions you'd ask me? Yes, so Jeffrey, I love it. Michael, so why do you think it's getting worse? Is a good question to ask. But first, let's create a foundation. Let's start. Okay, so tell me the story. What happened? So the how did it start is good. How painful and what makes it worse or better will give you a lot of very short answers. But what we want is a lot of answer, so we can get an idea of what's going on, and all the things that the patient might not be thinking is important or maybe is afraid to say will come out if we get them talking. So see, Cynthia, is it more frequent or more intense? We'll get you a lot of one question answers. It's getting a little bit more. Short question answers. Okay, and then you're going to ask another question. And very quickly, it becomes an interview versus a discussion. So you tell me the story. And let's suppose one of you says, tell me the story. So basically, I work as a mechanic. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I work bent over, and it's never been a problem until 10 years ago, I injured myself, you know, and it was fine after a while, but just in the last couple of weeks, I've been noticing that the pain in my lower back is coming back, and it's kind of on the right side. Then how could you follow up with that? Ah, thank you, Jeffrey. So anything else? Well, I don't know. I have a bit of a sore throat. I don't really know. I didn't really do anything. Like, it just kind of gradually started. But I really notice it when I'm sitting down. Then what? Is there anything else that happened in your life or you do day-to-day that plays into this? You know, not really. It's just something that I've been noticing. I don't think it's related to, like, the injury from 10 years because it just happened in the last couple of weeks. No, just that and the kind of the sore throat thing, but I don't think that matters. Basically, when I'm sitting on my side, I don't notice it as much. Good, you're getting all these open-ended questions that are trying to find out more. But did you guys hear the little hint I dropped? Something else popped up that we could explore there. Susan, so any issues with your bowel and bladder? That's interesting. James, you brought it up. Sore throat. Coughing and sneezing. Yeah, so you mentioned, why not explore the sore throat? Because what could that possibly lead in effect with our diagnosis? Yeah, the fever too. Because, now we're finding a whole other thing that it could be. Because here's the thing. What's one of the probable causes of having a sore throat at the same time as the initiation of back pain? Pamela, infection. What type of infection is this? What could this be, or could we explore? Meningitis or mononucleosis. It could also be that the back pain is caused by kidney problem. Now, one of the signs of kidney injury can also be a sore throat. So all of a sudden, now we have some other things that we can explore that might affect the way we treat this patient versus an adjustment. So now you've got me talking. We have all these ideas. Okay, we could explore some more. But let's suppose we've discovered everything. Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Exactly. So now we think, okay, so it might not even be an adjustment issue. It might be chronic care. It might be a viral infection. Okay, so that means, first of all, the way I interact with my patient is now different because they could potentially be contagious. It's a viral infection. Second, I need to communicate that. We'll talk about that later. Suppose that's everything we found out. What would be some strategic questions we could ask? And by the way, if anyone wants to be brave, I'll bring it up again, and turn on your microphones and give me some stuff. That would be awesome. You don't have to. I'm just saying it would be pretty cool if you did. Thank you, Oliver. So that would go back into the discussion of getting me talking and talking and talking. But how can we move into strategic? Suppose we've talked for like a few minutes, and you found out that it's basically a sore throat, there's no pussing, it started at roughly the same time. I don't think they're connected, but that doesn't matter. I do have some lower back pain. It's isolated into my right-hand side, but that's all the kind of symptoms I have. So there's no fever. Maybe you test for that. There's no fever, which kind of rules out some viral infection. Could still be a kidney. We don't know that yet. We could explore a little bit. Suppose we found out everything. Let's move into strategic questions. What would be some good examples of strategic questions? And remember, strategic is there to help us identify what the patient wants in that specific moment, that interaction. So, Michael, that's a good start. Do you feel the two are related? Not particularly. I mean, they kind of start at the same time. I've had sore throats like this before, though. I think it might just be a cold, but I'm not sure. Like, I don't think so. Here are some examples of strategic questions we could ask. Thank you, Oliver. Again, that's going more into that open-ended question where you're trying to get me to talk about stuff. But now let's suppose we found out everything. Why not ask questions like this? Okay, so if I can give you a couple of different reasons why you might be having this back pain, and we kind of explore them a little bit in terms of diagnosis with me playing with your lower back a little bit there, would that be a good first step for our first meeting, just to give us a foundation? Then the patient would answer, I guess so. If you could make it feel better, that would be really good. Then we find out something. Or you ask me, so what would you like to get out of today? Like, in the perfect world, we could make your pain go away. And one doctor actually did this to me once. Because I'll give you, that's in the next diagnosis question. The next diagnosis question I'll give you is actually me. We'll see if you can find out what happened. So, obviously, if we could make it all go away today, we could. I would. However, probably this is going to take a little while. What did you want to get out of today? What could I do in the next 5 to 15 minutes to help you? If you asked that to me, I would say, well, honestly, I would love for you to like take a look. Because a lot of times patients want you to look. Could you like maybe take a look? And you mentioned it's a kidney thing. Like, how would we know if it's a kidney thing? And that's probably where we would have asked about the urination and the blood and everything, because that would, if there's none, they would have probably alleviate the kidneys. So what could I do in the next few minutes? Remember, we're past the point now of finding out everything. Now we're in the point of getting to the patient's mind of what would make them happy in the next 10 to 15 minutes. We can help them, but we also want to make sure, and you said it yourself, the execution of medicine and the perception of the execution of medicine are equally important. So now the open helps us to execute. The strategic helps us the perception of execution. What prevents you from doing things that you can't because of the pain? Ronnie, thank you very much for that. When is the pain most intense? During urination, during sleeping? Those are questions that would be the open questions. You could ask that and then do like, okay, well, tell me a little more about that. That would be in the open. In strategic, we're trying to get into the patient's mind, and we could say things. So what would make you feel better today after you leave? We can work on your back a little bit if you'd like. We can test some urine if you'd like, and then get us a better idea. Would that help? Which leads to the last part, which is a closed-ended question. And this is right from the relationship-based care model. And when I was talking to Dr. Woolard about this, one of the things he mentioned is like, this is something that a patient brought up to him before they left. He gets a yes or a no out of them before they leave the room. After treatment, we've gone open, we've gone strategic, we get a closed-ended question. You know what, that might be a good first step. Great, we do it. David, you raise your hand. See if you can turn on your mic there and talk to me, or otherwise maybe type it into the chat. Oh, look, wait, I'm going the wrong direction. And these are the two questions he would always ask patients when they leave, and a patient brought this up to them. He'd always say, after everything's done, did you get what you needed? Yes. Cynthia, that's another great example. I like focusing on action because I might not have any questions, but I might feel a little nervous. Here's one of the things that Bob told me. He said, okay, someone says, hey, did you get what you needed? And if he heard this, I think so, yeah. He knew that they were not leaving fully satisfied. He said, hold on, tell me a little bit more. Tell me the story, what's going on? He would ask that question. It wasn't necessarily a question, it might be a nervousness, a worry. And you'd get them to talk about the worry a bit. Is there something else I can do before you leave? I mean, you didn't really look at my throat. I know I said they're not related, but is it okay if we just look real quick? Yeah, absolutely. Let's do that. Boom. Then that's 30 seconds of your time. Did you get what you need? Yeah, I feel better. I feel better. Now that I know there's no pus or anything, I knew it was a sore throat. I just needed the surety. A lot of people need that little moment. And that is the question stack. So let's do one more. Just for funsies. Oh no, we only got 15 minutes, right? I can go to 12:45. Yeah. And then we'll go into active listening. Just for funsies. That is the question, my friends. So now let's go into the question stack. We start with open. What are some open questions we could ask? And I will answer this. I will be the patient. You say hello, nice to meet you, good to see you. So what seems to be the problem? And you hear this. I think I injured my neck a few days ago. I don't think it's getting better, so that's why I'm here. What's the first open question we could ask in the question stack? Thank you, Thessa. Okay, tell me the story. I mean, honestly, it's one of these things where... Okay, so I dance, okay, and I was doing like this head movement, and I kind of tweaked my neck, and I didn't think anything of it. And then the next morning, I just woke up really stiff, and because, you know, I sit at a computer, I just kind of felt it all day, and I'm not, you know, sometimes I feel it's better, sometimes I feel it's worse, and that's it. Yeah, so that's why I came to see you. What would you say now? That would get me to keep talking. More open. More open. Thank you, Tiffany. So is there anything else you're thinking about? Well, there is. I don't, you know, I have this tingling. Sometimes I get this tingling in my shoulder a little bit. Like, not when I'm doing anything, I just get this tingling. Already your minds are adding something else to the diagnosis, aren't they? Versus asking about pain? No, a little bit, 5 out of 10. But anything else? Why do you think it's not improving? I don't know, I keep feeling it. And Yeah, that's it. I don't know, it's been like 4 days, so I don't know, maybe it'll get better on its own, but I feel like, you know, usually when I hurt my neck or like wake up stiff, it's gone by the end of the day, so. What could the tingling be telling us, everyone? How might that affect our diagnosis versus just an adjustment? Tracy, so how worried about you are this? Well, you know, normally I wouldn't be too worried about it. It's just that, I'll be honest with you, the tingling thing seems a little weird. I don't know if it's related or not. So that's kind of maybe one of the reasons I wanted to come to see you. Now, just for the sake of time, we could ask a few more open-ended questions. We could explore. We want to make sure we don't fall... Oh, thank you, Manju. What makes it worse? Does coughing, sneezing, sleep, or both? Great. We want to make sure we can ask those questions, but let's not fall into the trap of interview. Da-da-da, few-word answer. Da-da-da, few-word answer. Da-da-da, few-word answer. When you look into the research into relationship-based care, what you will find is that most patients will tell you everything you need to know if they feel like they can talk to you. If they get asked yes or no questions, there might be questions that you don't ask that I wanted to answer. That's why the open-ended question is such an effective tool. You can mix it in with some of these ones. So what makes it worse? Does coughing or sneezing bother you? No. It's not. I don't know. It's not really getting better or worse. That's it. That's the end of that one. So now you have to go more open or you move into strategic. So let's, for fun, move into strategic. Thank you, Tiffany. So what would make you feel better? You could ask someone that, like, if you asked me that, I would say, to be honest with you, I just want to know what it is. Any other questions we could ask after hearing that? I just want to know what it is. Allison, thank you. So what can I get? By the end of this appointment, what would you like to know? I just want to know what it is. I want to know what it is. I think there's a delay in the chat, so people are typing and we're not seeing it right away. But you guys are doing great. Thank you for always contributing here. Thank you, Tiffany. Exactly. When you say things like that, what's going to happen is that patients are going to start saying, well, I know like it's probably not going to be, I'm not going to walk out of here with like no pain, but it would be nice if I could get some sort of pain reduction and know what it is. And then once you ask these questions, and then you can initiate treatment because you've gotten all the information you think you need. It hasn't become a yes, no back and forth interview. It's become an open discussion. Then you ask me strategic questions. So I have already set the parameters that I was hoping for. Then you initiate treatment. Then the treatment is done and said, okay, so now we kind of have an idea of what it is. It's probably just a bit of an alignment issue that's tweaking a nerve, and that's what's causing the tingling. It might take between 5 to 10 sessions to fully get it gone, to fully fix it. Is there anything else that I can do before you leave? Does that kind of help? Is there anything else I can do for you? Actually, that's it. I think that's great. Thank you. Once you've gotten that closed-ended question, then you know that that patient is going to leave satisfied because they've said it. If you get the, I think that's it. Call them on that because you ask the closed-ended question because people don't want to lie, but they don't want to tell you if they're not happy, just like at the restaurant. So when you see that, you'd be like, all right, I see a little hesitation there. Is there anything else you want to bring up? Is there anything else you want to talk about? Honestly, you know, and then you'll bring, who knows what'll come up. Do you know why most people leave GPs? I have a friend of mine who is also a dancer. And we had a interesting discussion about she left her GP. Oh, look, a bunch of them are coming in. Yes, oh, Allison and Thessa, you're right. That feeling of not feeling rushed is so important. So here's the thing. My friend, she was a dancer. She went to a GP, and she stopped seeing them and started going to a naturopath. And the reason she did that, when I asked her, like, why? She said, well, I mean, they both told me the same thing. And I was like, okay, so why go to one instead of the other? And she's like, the other person just, you know, they would just sit and talk to me. Like, it never felt rushed. And literally she said those things. They just took a bit more time to listen to what I was saying. Even though they both diagnosed the same thing and gave her the same diagnosis and gave her the same treatment options, there's nothing we can really do, you're just gonna have time. She still felt more fulfilled. I love Susan. That's a good one. So that is the question stack. And then the next 4 minutes or 5 minutes, we're going to talk about active listening. Yes. Because active listening is one of these things that we've all heard about, but it's very fluffy. If we're honest, it's very fluffy. We all use terms like active listening to make the other person feel heard, but no one ever tells you how. So I would like to present to you a formula for active listening. And the formula is this, 45, 45, and 10. But before I do that, let me ask you all in the chat a little question. If a new patient comes into the room, and you ask these open-ended questions, and you get them talking, if you just let them talk until they had nothing else to say, just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, how long do you think a patient would talk for? My patients can talk for an hour. It depends on the patient. Too long, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, till the cows come home. Now, here's an interesting thing. So when we practice medicine, very quickly you will realize the 80-20 rule very much applies. 80% of your patients are coming in with the same 20% of the problems. We can almost always tell what it is. Usually, you know, within a big percentage. A friend of mine is a GP. She would either say it's an ingrown hair or it's a rash. You know, that's like 90% of everything that comes in. Red bumps that people freak out about. So what ends up happening is very quickly we think we can already help this person. And because we think that, the average medical practitioner will interrupt someone in under 30 seconds. Now, there was a study that was done, and I haven't memorized all the stats, but let me give you the specifics of it. Okay, 355 patients. It's a BMJ. It was published in the BMJ. And what they measured was, what would happen if you let patients spontaneously talk until they had nothing left to say? And they measured the mean time. First, they measured how quickly a doctor would interrupt. Less than 30 seconds. Because they pretty much already know what it is. If you let patients talk, the mean spontaneous talking time was 59 seconds before they ran out of stuff to talk about. 85% were done in under 2 minutes. Cam, you called it pretty close. So active listening sometimes will feel like it's taking forever, but it's just a few minutes. But if you do this, you will be shocked at the results. I'll give you two little stories of it. I have a friend who says they are the king of customer service. And I'm like, what makes you so good at customer service? He says, if they talk for a minute, I spend 50 seconds repeating what they say back to me and just agreeing with them. And by the time those 50 seconds are done, they're just like, okay. And then I always end with a question. That's it. That is active listening. If someone talks for 2 minutes, you spend 45% of your time repeating what they said back to you. You say 45% of the time agreeing, and then you end with a question. And this process may seem like it takes a long time, but it'll only take a few minutes. I'm going to give you an example, but first one more anecdote. I have a friend of mine who works at the public library. And if you've ever been to the public library, you will be shocked at how mad people get at librarians. They get very, and it's a thing. They have a huge turnover. So she was dealing with someone who was kind of upset. And she tried this process. And she wrote me that day saying it was crazy. I defused this person. Like they didn't even know what to do when I was done. They were like, I'll tell you another thing, da-da-da-da-da. And she was like, just repeated it back. One of the big tactics Dale Carnegie always says is, get the other person saying yes, yes. If you really want to get people to like trust you, get them saying yes, yes. Active listening is how you do it. Because if you just repeat what the other person said back to you in almost the same amount of time, they're going to go like this, yeah, yeah, yeah. Then you start agreeing, they go like this, yeah, yes, yes, exactly, yeah. And before they know it, they don't even know what to say anymore because you just agreed and repeated. So they feel completely heard. And then you ask a question, so what can we do about it? You ask the open-ended question or the strategic question because they fit like little utility belt tools. Let's do another example. I come in. I got hip pain. Okay, what can I help you with? I have some hip pain that is just, it's not going away. You asked me an opening, well, tell me a little bit what happened. So, basically, like 20 years ago, I was a break dancer. And one day, I just messed up my hip, and I couldn't walk on it for like 4 days, but I was 20 years old, I'm not going to go see a doctor. And, I mean, ever since then, it's 20 years later, and it's just always there. It's always there. Right away, the diagnosis goes from I have hip pain, maybe it's a one-off thing, to a chronic. And honestly, I don't think there's anything that's going to happen with it. I don't think it's ever going to go away, but I was just, you know, I'm just getting tired of it, so I wanted to come and see someone to see if they could help. If we use the 45 and the 45, what are all the things you could say back to me? Oh, geez, Natalie, I'm so sorry. I'm almost out of time. What are all the things that I just said? I want to hear you repeat and agree. I only see two people typing. Let's get some more. We only got a few minutes left. Come on. Stephanie, Sonia, Sharose, Scott, Sam, Sunny, Ron, Maddie, Tracy. Let's get you writing in here. Tony. Both the Suzannes. And the Susan. Good. Allison. So you have the hip pain and you don't think it'll help. That's a good conclusion to what I said. Combine that with what Manju wrote underneath. Okay, 20 years. You're a break dancer. I understand it feels pain won't go away, but you don't want to see someone to help with. Yes. If I combined all the things you're saying to me now, that would be the first 45. Pamela, the agreement. Good. Heather, that's good. But imagine if you summarize for me, that's not actually repeating. You would say something like this. Okay, so 20 years ago, I was young too. You know, you would injure yourself and it was not a big deal. Even though it sounds from the like of it that now you think it was pretty severe and you should have taken some care of it. And then already the other me would be going, yeah, yeah, it's true. And it's been with you forever, but now you're noticing that you're just noticing it more, and you want to see if there's anything you can do, even though it's 20 years later. And, you know, if I was you, I could totally get it, because as I get older, I also can't handle pain as well as I used to when I was a kid. That and cold. And then what will happen is, the person with me would be like, that's pretty much it. And then we would, right away, I'd just be saying, yes, 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 yes. Oh, Sharose, that's a great little way of saying it. So I'm replaying the story rather than just trying to get the facts. Exactly. So I'm not. So it becomes not an interview, but a conversation, and you're getting me to go like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. And then you add the agreement. Because you know what agreement is? At the very beginning, a lot of you talked about empathy. But if I agree with you, I'm essentially showing you empathy. I'm saying I was the same way. I was the same way, which will build the trust. That is the act of listening. And then the last thing you could say, could be a question. And what could that question be? An open question or a strategic question to get us into the realm of what I'm hoping to get out of this visit. So that is active listening. I would challenge anyone who's still listening. See, everyone's like, oh. I would challenge you all to do something for me. No one's ever going to know. I won't ever know. Whether it's with a patient or someone else who's working in your office today, I want you to try the 45, 45, and 10. Even if someone's complaining about their meal, what they had for lunch, if they talk for a minute, talk for 50 seconds and spend almost all of it. Spend 45 of those seconds repeating and agreeing. And you watch this other person go like this. Yeah, yeah, totally, yes, exactly, uh-huh. You watch, and you're going to have this weird Jedi mind trick on them. The next time you have an angry patient, just repeat everything they say back and agree and tell them why you agree. Not why you disagree or why they're misunderstood or why they don't fully understand the situation. Why you agree. And then you ask them an open-ended question afterward, and they'll be like, sure. And they'll defuse. Try it once today. And be shocked by the outcomes. Hopefully, if we had more time or if we were in person, I would ask you all to get up and demonstrate and do it with each other. But if you try it once today, I think you'll be shocked by the results. I am supposed to leave a few minutes at the end for questions and announcements. It is 12:52. I want to say thank you, everybody. Natalie is here to say a few things, but if you have some questions, you can ask them now and let me know. Go ahead, in the camera. There you go.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Now it's the beginning of the Q&A, so you can just ask any questions in the chat box that you see on your screen that you've been interacting with us. So I want to first say thank you to Yvonne, and please type any questions that you have with regards to
Michael's
active listening, this question stack, that, you know, if you want to dig into it more. Yvonne's got some tips and tricks that are ready to share. Here's a question for you.
Hold on. Let me answer Michael.
Oh.
Michael's got...
Oh, perfect.
So, Michael,
let's
what's
go.
My go-to strategic? I always try and start off with the if-then strategic, meaning that I always say, so if I did this and this, would that make you feel like you got something out of today? Something along those lines. Like an if-then, because then that leads to a closed-ended question and their agreement. Okay, so if we looked at your back and gave you a couple reasons why it might be happening... Would that give you a sense of what we're working with today? Would you feel good after that? Yeah, you know, that's kind of what I was hoping for. Done. If I just look without actually adjusting, would that make you feel a little bit better for people who might be nervous seeing a chiropractor? If-thens. I always try and say if-then, 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 because it'll always lead to a question, to a yes or no, or like, and then I can delve more. Thank you, Michael.
Do we have any other questions?
Hey, thanks, Boris. Thank you, Manju.
Perfect. Here's a question for you. What happens in active listening if it seems to be taking too long? What do you recommend? What do you suggest?
Certainly. And this is a perception question. So I'll tell you two personal anecdotes. In my work, I get asked a lot of the same questions over and over and over. So I've been experimenting, and I'll be honest with you, it is a muscle that you need to develop. The first few times, I was losing my mind. I wanted to interrupt them so badly. But what I did was this. I started looking at how long it was actually taking, and it was never more than a minute or two. But the minute feels long. So it's more the perception of it taking a long time. You're like, I already know what this is. I already know. Let's go, let's go, let's go. But I start thinking from the patient perspective. And I just let them talk. And I realize it hasn't actually extended the amount of conversations I have, like the length of conversations. If anything, they get resolved much faster. Because once someone talks themselves out once, it's hard for them to talk themselves out again. Because they've already said everything they wanted to say.
Thank you. Excellent. Okay. Here, I'm going to throw another one at you.
Sure.
Ready? Okay. Why don't you go to strategic right away.
Hey, gang, for anyone who's still on the chat here, why wouldn't you go to strategic right away? Jeffrey, yes. Yes. Tiffany, yeah, you won't get the whole story. It's going to be an interview. They might just say what the one thing and not talk about anything else, or just give you like, okay, sure. Exactly. Thank you. Richard, yes, imagine. Yes, that's exactly why. Because otherwise it just becomes a me. Okay, here we go. I know what this is. I haven't communicated. I haven't addressed your needs. I haven't let you feel heard. Let's go. Treatment. Right? That's exactly right. Oh, you guys are making me so happy. You're killing it. Denis, Darien. I remember Denis. Denis's been, oh, I met Denis before. That's exactly right.
All right. We have a couple more minutes. Are there any additional questions that are burning to be asked of Yvonne since we have him here? Anyone? I'll give you a moment to type.
If anyone remembers anything, I'll just do this here. You can also reach out to me anytime. Or you can just write Natalie
at the OCA. DOCA, yeah, good idea.
Hey, mind you, when is my next presentation?
TBA. We're working on it.
Jeffrey. Oh, Jeffrey, yes. If you want to find out more, it's really quite fascinating. If you have a PubMed membership, or I don't know if the OCA has anything with PubMed, there's a few really interesting articles about PubMed in PubMed about relationship-based care, which I would definitely recommend. The one article that I thought was really interesting, I'll give you the, I'm going to put it up on the screen so you can see it here. And it's a BMJ article, and this was the one about patient talking and unregulated. You see that? I can also get Natalie to send that to you. It is Langowitz, Dens, Keller. There's so many. Okay, the title of the research was called Spontaneous Talking Time at Start of Consultation in Outpatient Clinic. Spontaneous Talking Time at Start of Consultation in Outpatient Clinic. Yes, Charose, please, practice. If you guys practice, send me a message on any of these. I would love to hear what the results were. Even if it didn't work, I would love to hear it. Thank you.
And to close, we're coming right off to the end. I don't see any other questions. I'll give you one more minute here, everyone. If not, you can give the thumbs up to Yvonne. He did a great job today.
I also accept smiley faces and applause.
Thank you, everyone, for interacting with Yvonne. I'm sure you
all got some
great information from today's webinar. And as mentioned, it will be recorded and available with the slides on the OCA website in the next few days. If you have any unanswered questions or think of something, please reach out to Yvonne or the OCA. We would be happy to answer any of your outstanding questions. And we really hope you practice these new tools and skills that you've learned today. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.